You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. You know what Thursday means. It means it is time for the Locked On Wolverines podcast, Michigan Mailbag. That's right. Favorite episode of the week, bar none, every single week. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I don't know why I'm using my hands like this if you're watching on YouTube. Nonetheless, we have got so many questions, not a lot of time. Can't go the whole hour type deal. We got to try to get it back to 30 minutes-ish. It's not going to happen, but we're going to try. So let's get to our leaders and best, starting straight away. James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Would you like to see the freshmen get in early and play a little bit more than usual, or let the starters go a little longer to get their rhythm back before next week, assuming the game is in hand? Side question, how about the GOAT Joe down there in Tennessee last week? I'm not going to rag on Joe Milton. I know that's certainly there's a lot of people out there that were kind of happy to see that type of action. It's an unfortunate play for a guy who's in his fourth year playing, right? No awareness. As far as your question about the whether you want the starters, you want the I kind of want to see more of the starters, but to a degree, right? Like, you don't want to be playing him in garbage time, right? I want to see it kind of be like an old school 2016 type thing. Put them away early. Make sure they're fully put away. You don't want it to be like a Rutgers type situation. Move on. I'd like to see also kind of setting some things up. I remember like in 2015, for instance, playing the week before Michigan State. I think that was actually Northwestern. Was it Northwestern? Maybe it wasn't. But I remember that they were setting some things up for Michigan State. I mean, didn't end up working out, but just showing some looks maybe that they have to think about. So like that would probably require the starters being in. So I'd like to see three quarters out of the starters if possible. You know, don't get over crazy about it. Don't start to think like, all right, let's just keep them out there. You just hope you get three quarters from them. Really emphasize, all right, we're going to do our thing, and then hopefully you get the backups in as well. Get out of there without injuries. Get out of there without, anything like that, and just prepare for Michigan State in that light. But take care of business and do it well. Do it quickly. Start early. That's what they've done. Don't implode in the second half, because we've seen that happen now twice. So you want to see them be able to have a big third quarter. Hasn't been Michigan's quarter, which is kind of opposite of what you're used to, right? Used to be third quarter was, they'd start slow and then, and 2018, games are close at halftime. Didn't necessarily feel as close. And then third quarter, they'd take over. So you'd like to see them have a big third quarter. So I'd like to see them remain with that. Or go back to that rather. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Watching the interviews this week, there's lots of questions about not looking past Northwestern. I've asked a lot of them. We keep hearing the game is the most important, but how does that mesh with the increased year-round focus we have heard about regarding Ohio State? I think that they're probably doing something a little bit here and there every week for Ohio State, right? Like they're, as Aiden Hutchinson said in Big Ten Media Days, If we prepare essentially to beat Ohio State every week, we'll be able to beat every other team before Ohio State. So I think it's probably like they're sprinkling something in. Maybe it's at the end. I don't know what they're doing, but it's kind of like Ohio State players told me before 2019, at the end of every practice, at the end of every condition, winter conditioning, spring ball, summer conditioning, they would do something for Michigan. So I would imagine it's something like it's not taking away from what they're doing, but more so adding to what they're doing. At least I hope that's the case. I'm not 100 on that. But, yeah, obviously you hope that they aren't looking forward to Michigan State, because that is a week away. But Mike Hart, like he said to me yesterday, said, if we don't win against Northwestern, then that game against Michigan State doesn't matter. It's got a point. So they seem focused. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. What side of the ball do you expect to see the most improvements coming off the bye? It's hard to answer. I don't really know. I think that there's certainly more left in the tank offensively, and defensively, the issues they have had are fixable. So you wonder how much they're able to fix them. Like, that was the thing when talking to like Steve Klinkscale on Wednesday, and this idea of like, all right, well, there's some bad eye discipline. We want to fix a lot of the the holding type things on the back end and things like those that can be fixed. I'm sure those are being hammered home. There was some talk about the wheel route hurting Michigan against Nebraska. And it's like, oh, well, we can fix that. So I'm not really sure. I think that it could be all of the above. I don't really know that there's one more than the other. Certainly the defense is going to be more tested going forward. So I have to go with the offense because I think the offense will have an easier time of it against some of these other teams. They've played the toughest defense in Wisconsin than they're going to play all year. Penn State's probably going to be the next toughest defense. So I think that offensively they'll look better. Especially they'll probably have some different looks for some of the bigger teams they're facing, kind of like they did against Wisconsin. But defensively, it might be better, but it might not show it because you've got offenses in Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State that are going to be better. And Maryland. I mean, Maryland keeps losing guys, but certainly defensively they don't look good at all. But certainly they can... I don't know what I'm saying. Let's just move on. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. What game on the remaining on the schedule are you looking forward to the most? Number 2, how many 5-stars do you think will be in this class? As far as the 5-stars, I'm going to go with, and it depends on if Will Johnson keeps his, because on 24/7's new release from their proprietary rankings, I mean, I don't think he'll drop. But, I mean, looking at On3, they don't have him as a... Did they have... Oh, they did have him as a 5-star. But he was like 20th. He's out of the 5-star range in 24/7's proprietary rankings. I'll still consider him a 5-star. I think they'll get Josh Connerly from the 5-star offensive tackle from Seattle. I think that I personally think, I mean, it's far from a done deal. I personally think that they'll flip Damani. So there's 3. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up getting Walter Nolan. I'm not saying that they will. I just think the fact that he came back and visited again for the Washington game is big. And what Tennessee has been looking like, I think they certainly could fall out. What Michigan's been looking like, they could rise back in. It's a position of need, all of that kind of stuff. As far as the remaining game on the schedule I'm looking forward to the most, I mean, there's an element for me that's looking forward to Michigan State, but at the same time, I hate that week. It's one of the worst weeks to cover. It's everything you post. Like for me in the media, like I get, you know, more so than Ohio State, you get a bunch of Michigan State fans that act like I'm, you know, like I know it looks like I'm a fan because I'm wearing my home field. This is more because it's home field. It's comfortable. I wanted to wear something comfortable today, but, they're going to look at it and be like, oh, you're just a big fan. And it's like, that's not how this works. So Penn State, because I love going to Happy Valley so much. It's awesome there. I'm like the only person that doesn't mind that drive. I love that travel. I love going to that game. I love going to games in State College. I know it's probably not going to be a night game. I'm probably the only person that kind of wishes it was. It's the only game where it's like every other game, please no night game, because that just it's, you know, I don't get to sleep usually. Penn State is the only one where I'm like, make it a night game every time because the atmosphere is insane. It's the best in college football, in my opinion. Granted, I haven't been to LSU at night, but KRT at Farmer 84. Will Donovan Edwards' role stay the same, or do you think he'll see increased snaps in the second half of the season? Same for JJ. Any changes moving forward? I think JJ's role will probably at least slightly increase. I think that they're just starting to work him in, right? But I don't think it'll be much different for Donovan. You hope, right? But I mean, if Blake and Hassan are still playing lights out, it's hard to kind of, it's what Mike Hart said on Wednesday. He's like, it's hard to get him on the field, right? Because he's got those two guys ahead of him. I thought he'd see the field more because I thought Blake Corum was going to be good. I didn't think he was going to be this monster that he's turned into. So, I think you'll see more of him, and I think they're starting to work him in more, but I don't think that they're necessarily clamoring to get him in per se, but maybe. I mean, I think certainly they have probably some special weapons that we haven't seen to some degree because they haven't needed to offensively. Brandon at Brandon S616, if Cade finishes the year starting, do you see him sticking around next year? QB draft class this year is weak. He's got a 5-star in the wings that most likely will be too good to keep off the field. I love Cade and want him to succeed. I'm just curious of your thoughts. I don't think he's shown anything necessarily that says draft me right now because Michigan hasn't asked him to do much. So I think it's a little hard to say like, yeah, he could be gone. You know, Michigan just hasn't asked him to do enough, I feel. And I don't think he's necessarily shown enough. I think he's been very good. And I'm not saying he hasn't been. But when you consider Michigan hasn't had a quarterback drafted since, what, Denard Robinson? No, Jake Rudock. Like, it's a little difficult of a proposition to be, you know, to go in and be like a sixth round. I know it worked out well for Jake for a couple of years, but I would imagine he wants more. I don't know. That's really it. And I don't think he's concerned about, well, there's a five-star behind me. I think he's concerned with, hey, I won the job. I'm going to keep the job as long as I'm here, and I'm going to keep fighting to keep it, right? He has to keep fighting to keep it, and he's doing that. So, yeah. All right. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. What is the biggest improvement you've seen by a unit or player from week one to now? Hard to say from week one to now. Because, I mean, it's been consistent, right? Like, the offensive line's been consistent. The tight ends have been consistent. Wide receiver's been what it has been. Running backs have been what they've been. So, quarterback has been essentially the same. So, I have to wipe off the offense. It has to be the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, I'm going with the powers of deduction here. I'm going to say the defensive line. I feel like especially the interior defensive line. I was going to say linebacker, but I think that they've also been pretty consistent. They've gotten better, certainly, particularly the younger guys, Nakaihill Green, Clell Mullings, and Junior Colson. But I really like what I'm seeing lately from David Ajabo. I know he's an outside linebacker, but that, I'm going to lump that in. David Ajabo and Mazi Smith why am I blanking on the other name? The other one that isn't Mazi Smith, that isn't Donovan Jeter. I mean, Chris Jenkins has been really good. Why am I blanking? I don't know. Chris Hinton. What is wrong with me? Anyway, I think that they have done a really good job. I think they've gotten better on a week-to-week basis, and you're really starting to see Mazi kind of dominate. It's been great. On top of the fact that Aiden's obviously been dominating, and Ajabo has really come on Josh Uche style. All right. Let's move on, and then we've got plenty more questions. Like I said, I got to keep this under 50 minutes. I'm also going to see Dune tonight, and it's in an hour, 20 minutes, so got to get out of here. Anyway, hey, guys, so there's a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know when you are sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know I have personally dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now, listen, I know this isn't life and death. There are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest. In the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date. God forbid. I much rather would not worry about it. That's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week, and it keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out, no more picking my shirts based on which ones will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com, and with the promo code LOCKEDON, you can also get it at Amazon or CVS. All right, knocking things over here. Why? I don't know, but that's what's happening. All right, so let's continue on with our Victor's Valiant. Now that I'm trying to get my microphone here where I can actually use it instead of and see the screen. This is the new challenge of the video. Anyway, welcome back, Jim, at Jim in the North. How does the offense compare to the 15-16 offensive scheme-wise? It's kind of similar, but it's a little bit more of a spread version, right? Like, they're kind of doing similar things. They're playing power-type concepts. I mean, they're mixing power and zone spread-type schemes. I wasn't as schematically smart back in 15-16, but it kind of has some of the same kind of underneath-type stuff. You know, it's checkdowns, tight ends, that type of thing. All that's been kind of missing is more frequent deep shots, which they didn't really get to until the latter third or latter quarter, rather, of the latter quarter started against Indiana in 15. And it still seemed like it took a little bit for it to really break away in 2016. I feel like the Rutgers game connecting with Jehu Chesson was like when the deep game really started to hit. So I think it's kind of similar but different, right? Like a more modern version of it, I think, is the way I'm looking at it. Continuing, why does this seem to be so much more motivated? The team seem to be much more motivated when compared to last year's team. Is it the addition of the new staff like Hart and Bellamy, or is it the fact that we have crowds again? Probably both, but I think the bigger thing is, well, there's two bigger things. Guys have more experience. Guys don't want to lose. They don't want to feel like they did last year. So I think those are probably the big things, but having those, the new staff, and I don't just limit it to the Michigan guys. I think Mike McDonald, I think that, you know, he plays a giant role. I mean, all of the defensive coaches play a giant role, I think, in helping motivate these guys. But I think ultimately it's the being tired of losing. You know, they didn't like how last year went and they wanted to change it. And they got into the weight room in the winter and hit spring ball as hard as they could. So I think it's just everything. It's a confluence of everything. Do you think this team will be up for MSU? They always seem so emotionally high when they play us. I think so. I think this team's really looking for that barometer, that thing that said, you know, that's, I don't think they're going to go in MSU with the same mindset of like, we're just going to kill them. They're going to lay down for us. Cause number one, it's, even if Michigan is favored, it's not going to be by a lot. Number two, it's on the road. Number three, they lost to MSU last year. Number three, MSU was undefeated. So I don't think they're going to go in with this idea. I think it'll be much more like Wisconsin, where it's just this, like, we need to go in and do the thing, right? And MSU is certainly going to be up for that game. It's going to be interesting. Continuing, after Nebraska and after some reading, I'm nervous about the D versus MSU. Speak comfort to me. All right, here's the thing. No, the defensive line, or not defensive line, but the defense did not look good in the second half. At times, it did in the end, right? Kind of like the Rutgers game, at times against Nebraska. MSU's offense is not nearly as complicated as Nebraska's. Will they try to pull the linebackers and safety up with play action? Absolutely. But for the most part, when you look at what MSU did against Indiana, what MSU did against Nebraska, against tougher defenses, they have not been as good. The big contest is going to be, Are they able to get enough pressure on Peyton Thorne? I think they will be able to. But then, even then, if Peyton Thorne is trying to hit Jaden Reed and Jalen Naylor, how do the corners fare? The corners look vastly improved. I know what people are going to sit there and say, no, they don't. They do. They look vastly improved compared to what they were in week two last year. They're not going to be stuck in man coverage, isolated, all those things. MSU is going to hit on some plays. That's going to happen, especially at home. But I think it's, you've seen the composure, right? It's not this, oh, here we go again. That happened last year. So this will be arguably the best defense. I mean, arguably the best defense that Michigan State will have faced. It's hard to say because I think Indiana's had more tests, particularly playing Penn State. Let's see. And then they played Nebraska, whose offense has been exactly what it is, kind of against every team it's played. So that's my thought. Jacob Chavaria, Jacob 172-139-50. What are the odds Michigan getting a big lead going into halftime and JJ playing so good in the second half that he steals the starting job from Cade? I don't think it works that way, man. I don't think it's like, oh, he looks so good in the second half that Cade, sorry, you've lost your job. Especially if Cade helped lead them to a big lead to get JJ in. Here's the thing. Cade McNamara has won the starting job. It's not like, I'm not saying it's not close. Certainly there are elements that are probably close, but he does a lot of things that JJ might not be able to do. JJ might have the complement of the playbook, right? Like the full complement, but Cade can make a lot of checks. He certainly can read defenses. He's not making a lot of mistakes. He's doing what Michigan's offense is asking of him. This isn't a situation where he's on thin ice, I don't think. And I certainly don't think that suddenly I don't think you want to suddenly make a quarterback change going into Michigan State. You want the guy that's had the steady grip on the helm all the way through so far. They're undefeated. I understand people want to see more. Michigan's not asking for more at this juncture. That's part of it. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3, what's your biggest concern heading into the second half of the season? Any breakout candidate for the second half who hasn't gotten much run in the first six games? Latter, I'm going to go with AJ Henning. I think that he's got it all there, right? And I think we're going to see him more on offense. I mean, I feel like we've got to. If Rowan Wilson comes back healthy, he could be part of that as well. We just saw him start to break out before he got injured against Wisconsin. Biggest concern heading in the second half is just how does it handle the bigger games on the schedule, right? Because 2019, 2017, Michigan went and beat up on the teams it was supposed to, but lost to the teams that it was that were its peers, right? So you've got two of those games coming up, MSU and Penn State. And, you know, if Michigan handles Northwestern, Indiana, Maryland, I mean, the season will be defined on really those other games. Ohio State doesn't count in my mind. I know it does in most of yours, but Ohio State is in another galaxy even still, unfortunately. Trey Gomillion at Trey to the Max. Do you think J.J. McCarthy will stay at Michigan for his senior year? If yes, where does he finish in the Heisman Trophy running? If no, what round does he go in the NFL draft? Man, that's too hypothetical. I couldn't even begin to answer that. And I'm sorry. I know you want me to be like, yeah, first round, sticks through his senior year, even though he won the Heisman the year before. That's way too. If he comes in next year or the year after and just balls out, like it takes 1 year now, right? Like you don't have to have necessarily 2 years. If he comes in his junior year and just plays lights out, he's going to probably go to the draft because that's how things go. And Heisman Trophy, I don't know, man. It's been all, Michigan has never had a Heisman Trophy quarterback. Hard to predict. AJK4UM, outside of no injuries, what's the most important get for Michigan in the Northwestern game? I think just consistency and domination, and especially, I mean, what I want to see is how those corners work against the pass game. I know Holinsky isn't setting the world on fire, but he's passing essentially the first two games, not so great. Last two games, 250-ish yards each week. Can the Michigan secondary contain him? And, you know, because we're used to that. That's the problem, though. We're used to under Don Brown, there being elite corners and this idea that no team is going to pass for 200 yards against Michigan. It might not be that way this year, but I want to see how they handle what is thrown at them. And then I just want to see the offense be consistent, right? And we're probably going to see, if I was to take a guess on it right now, 300 yards rushing again and 200 yards passing. Just same consistent what we've seen. That's probably it. Just consistency, domination, not letting up. That kind of thing. Brandon Carpenter at Big House Go Blue _. Not sure if you've answered this in the previous mailbag, but in your opinion, is Ohio State really back or are they benefiting from playing lesser talented teams? A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. The thing is their offense has just been phenomenal. And I think that's going to, whatever their defense does. And I think the biggest thing to me why I'm leery is because CJ Stroud felt like he grew up in the midst of that Oregon game in week two. And then they became unstoppable offensively after that, which is the scary thing because he was shaky in weeks one and week two, and then after that, not so much. I mean, Kyle McCord, I know, played in week three or four, whatever it was. But, yeah, C.J. Stroud, those receivers, that's the most talented receiver room. Travion Henderson has been an absolute monster. Defensively, I think, yeah, they haven't been tested yet, per se. So we'll see. Here's the key for Michigan to win against Ohio State. Find a way to get some stops. And then you're just gonna need a couple, maybe, and then go toe-to-toe. That's the only way you're gonna be able to do it. Certainly it could be possible. I don't know yet though. Ryan, I am three lack. Name one player position group you think will step up in the second half of the season. I basically already answered that. As far as the position group, I think I don't know who's gonna step up, but no offense, I already kind of answered it. Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. How does this team stack up to other Harbaugh Michigan teams? Does Cade make a similar bye week leap as Rudock and Spate? Hope so. I think it's very similar to 15. No, the defense isn't quite as dominant, but I think it's still like, you know, trying to figure some things out, newish scheme. It's not necessarily like that super aggressive style that Don Brown ended up bringing in. But I mean, it's got some elements of that. And I think the offense is just, it's kind of that manage the game type thing. And then we saw it really take off later. So I liken it a lot to the 15 team. 16, I still think that's a national championship contending team if Wilton Spate doesn't get hurt, regardless of the Iowa game. And 18 was right there. I had a little bit more faith in the offense and its ability to be consistent. And the defense was great, but obviously there was some we've talked about Ohio State, how the defense kind of got figured out by the Buckeyes. I don't think that that's necessarily what this is. I think it will be better. They're not going to let up 62, I don't think, to Ohio State. That doesn't mean Ohio State can't score 40. That would be a win in my eyes. I know that sounds crazy, but that's the type of offense I think Ohio State has. Tyler at T_Force1. I am 6-0 all time at the Big House, all conference games too. Will I improve to 7-0 this week? Yes, you will, barring catastrophic disaster. It would be catastrophe. Michigan is favored by 23.5 or something like that. So catastrophe if not. Jacob Heminger at Heminger Jacob. Why does it seem like so many people forget that Cade is still learning and act like JJ must start for this team to do anything special? Cade only has 7 career starts and what, maybe 2-3 games in which he's actually played all 4 quarters? 6-1 as a starter and 7-1 coming off and off the bench when the game was still winnable, excluding Wisconsin last year. I really think Cade is still learning, and as much as any first-year starter in the country, and really hasn't been helped out by his wide receivers at times. I agree with that. There are some things like with the wide receivers. I mean, sometimes he hasn't been helped out by the wide receivers. Sometimes he's been late. Again, these are fixable issues, right? Like, he's making great decisions. A lot of these decisions that aren't good or don't necessarily look good is because he's just a little late. They fix his timing and he starts to see things. But I am 100% with you. People act like he's been doing this for years. He's been in the program for a while. It's the thing that happens in Ann Arbor when you have a starting quarterback, right? It happens every time. Everyone was clamoring for Cade last year. Everyone was clamoring for Cade coming into this year. But as soon as he shows one moment of weakness mixed with J.J. McCarthy making this incredible throw in week one, suddenly backup quarterback, most popular guy on campus. Happens every time, but I'm with you. I'm Patman at the_GD Patman. Have you heard anything about progression in establishing a new number one wide receiver? If so, who? If not, who is most likely to fill the role by the season's end? I don't think they're concerned necessarily with who's number one, who's number two. I mean, clearly they think highly of Cornelius and Dalen. Those are your number one and your number two, essentially. So yeah, I would expect that to continue. Those are your starters. I mean, Dalen probably would be number three if Ronnie Bell wasn't in. Cornelius would be number two, but those are the guys. Dalen, I think, is still going to, like, he was disappointed by how that Nebraska game went for him. Still made a couple big plays, but he was disappointed by it. I think he's one of those guys that's going to take a big uptick. Chase Glasser via Instagram. Michigan is 3-20 against MSU teams that go on to win over 8 games. How surprising is the stat? And it's past prologue. Also, why do AJ Henning and Joel Honingford have equitable amounts of downfield targets? Will this also change? Henning, this because they're not using him as they're trying to do speed and space, right? Like, get him on jet sweeps. Hey, it worked in week one, right? Like, you're not complaining if it works. But in Joel Honingford, he's a big tight end type guy, right? Like, they're gonna target guys. It's not surprising, that stat, because Michigan just kind of takes MSU somewhat lightly in general. I'm sure that a lot of those games, I'm sure that was much more even in the Lloyd Carr era. I'd have to look. I mean, obviously they haven't played 17 games since Lloyd Carr, but keeping in mind, MSU got really good. MSU wasn't good because Michigan was bad, but MSU got really good while Michigan was bad, right? So, I mean, that they certainly didn't have the impediment in Michigan, but I'm sure that, I mean, they probably got in the D'Antonio era, what, like 7 or 8 wins when they probably had the 8 game because they were bad and Michigan only won a handful of those. I'd be curious to see how many times Michigan has both teams, what the record is with both teams being like winning over 8 games, right? Like, if, I don't know. Anyway, Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. Which Michigan coach or player or players is most likely to need a product designed to mitigate excessive sweating? Interpret that question however you please. Think you're thinking a sweat block there. I don't know. Fun question, though. I don't know. Cute, regardless. Rob Anto at Rob Anto 1. A lot of people are clamoring for JJ to get the start this week so he has in-game experience for the upcoming gauntlet. But doesn't Cade need the reps equally, if not more, since he's our starter? People act like Cade is a fifth-year senior who can't get better with more reps. I know that's kind of similar to Jacob's question, but yeah, I mean, it's JJ's not going to start, people. Like, stop, like, thinking like he's going to come in and be Caleb Williams, right? Like, it. Cade is not making Spencer Rattler like mistakes thus far, you know? It. I said this with Brandon Peters, right? Like, careful what you wish for. Don't put a guy in before he's ready to be that guy. Cade has earned the job, and yes, he needs to be able to get those reps, you know, continue to build his resume, get to feel comfortable. Like, if they need to win with him throwing 30, 40 times a game, he needs to feel comfortable doing that, you know, especially against a defense that's going to bring pressure like Northwestern probably will. You don't want him to go up in a game and not feel ready because he's like, well, you know, he played against really good against NIU, but he didn't face a, you know, now that he's facing Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, you know, Northwestern brings pressure. You know, you don't want him to feel like he's looking into the crosshairs and doesn't know what to do. So, Mike MG Brady at Michael_M Brady. If you had to choose between A, beating MSU and PSU but losing to Ohio State, or B, beating OSU but losing to MSU and PSU, which would you take? Assume under A, we wouldn't make the playoffs. Great pod. Thanks. I'm going to go with A, actually. I know that's probably not what other people would take. I think that at least if you beat Michigan State and Penn State, you've reached, you know, another step on the rung. They certainly could still make the playoffs. It gives you a chance to being an 11-1 team. And that is actually what I'm predicting to happen, is A. But under B, it's like, all right, well, where was what you did against Ohio State against the teams that you should beat? You know, one of them, they're each still rivals. I think you need to take the advantage back against both Michigan State and Penn State, 3-3 against both in the Harbaugh tenure. Take the advantage back. Work towards beating Ohio State. I know it's going to be a lot of what have you thrown against the wall and whatever, but if there's a loss against Ohio State, but, you know, just take it, you know. I hope that makes sense. Finishing us out, Jake Butt asks, will Butt continue to grow beard as long as Michigan continues to win? Yes. And I sent him a picture there on Twitter, the response to that. That he needs to match what I brought to the team. Granted, Michigan was not winning last year, but back when my beard was a good foot long this time last year. All right. Anyway, moving on, and then we'll finish out. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers, so why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in there. How did you hear about us, Spock? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. I accidentally didn't have that part, so I had to go to my memory banks there. Anyway, all right, football's been back. It's been awesome. It's been fun. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season with a new updated site and interface. Even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to betonline.ag to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive said bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so we only have 5 left, so that's better than having 10. Doing a little bit better here, but anyway. Steve Blacklaw at Blacklaw. Steve, who ends up being the leading rusher for Michigan this year, Blake Corum or Hassan Haskins? I'm going to go with Blake. And that's just because he's already set a precedent. Both, really, it doesn't matter. they're kind of neck and neck. I think Blake has a little bit higher. He's got like 100 more yards more. a few less carries, higher yards per carry, obviously, with that. I think that Blake will probably break a couple more big ones. I think Hassan will break some big ones. I don't know. I think Hassan is probably going to be closer to being a short yardage back. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about, people. I'm on these hypotheticals. Anyhow, Jason Taylor at @JasonTay_. This question should have been asked after the first few games. Why do you think we have seen guys like Rod Moore and Jaden McBurrows in garbage time over Iman Dennis, Andre Seldon, Darian Green Warren? Those are the two guys that got mentioned by Steve Klinkscale as being like those next men up yesterday on Wednesday. Rod Moore and Jaden McBurrows. We have not heard anything about Iman Dennis, Andre Seldon, or Darian Green Warren. Listen, sometimes it takes guys longer to progress. You know, it just seems like, you know, like Seldon was out with COVID all last year, really. So, like, it took him a little while. I think they feel more comfortable. Like, Jaden McBurrows is really talented, right? He had offers from Alabama, LSU, all of those types of schools that certainly would connote that he's more of a 4-star than a 3-star. Seems like he's really coming on. They just really like Rod Moore. I don't know. It just seems like the other guys are just behind the eight ball when it comes to that. Sometimes you're going to get true freshmen in, 3-star or not, that just are ready to go. I don't know if I've seen Darian Green Warren this year, now that I think about it. At least I don't have any pictures. I'm going to have to keep my eye out on Saturday. I don't remember. I don't think I have any pictures of him. So that's kind of curious. Not to start any rumors, but we'll address that next week. Part alternation mark, Mark A.R. Siniak. I don't know what that says, but whatever. Where did Kemp go? Who do you think will be our starting five offensive linemen next year based on what we've seen so far this season? Let's see who's graduating. Stuber's graduating. Got to imagine Ryan Hayes goes. I mean, he's got another year. I mean, technically 2 years. Bastardus certainly gone. All right, so I would go with this. I'm going to say Ryan Hayes comes back for another year. I don't know why, but I'm going to say that. You're going to keep Trevor Keegan. Your center, I'm going to say Greg Crippen. I think that he's in the 2-deep. He's right there. If not Ryan Hayes, I'll put Carson Barnhart on that side. So let's take Hayes out and put Carson Barnhart on just for the sake of having something different. Then I think that for your right guard, obviously Zach Zinter, and then your right tackle, Trente Jones. Kevin at Kev Big, or Big Kev Hale, rather. Northwestern setting up as a trap game? I don't know, it doesn't seem like it. They seem pretty focused. It could be. I think Northwestern is getting better, but Harbaugh even said that. Like, hey, they get better every week. That's what they do. So maybe it will look like it. I think the line's 23.5. I predicted a 24-point win. I would not be surprised if it's a 10-point win and everyone's like, oh, God, what's happening? Oh, no. But I think Michigan will be focused. I think Northwestern is starting to get better. It's getting more experience, right? This is very inexperienced. One of the most inexperienced teams in the country, and they're starting to get experience. And quarterback change seems to have helped. They've certainly got some people that look daunting. Finishing us out, Goat O' the Woods at Associated J. How many snaps will JJ get this week and why? I don't know, about the same as he's got that in the last several weeks. Give him a little bit more because I still think that they'll get a comfortable enough lead to put him in the fourth quarter. So whatever he gets in the fourth quarter and some 10 snaps before that, right? Like coming in every now and again. And I think it's just, they just don't want to continue to use him in certain packages, get him comfortable. I don't think it's because Cade is losing his job. They just don't want to be in a situation where they have a guy that hasn't played any snaps suddenly come in and have to lead the team if something happens to Cade. And I think that they think he has some things that he can do that Cade can't. But that's not meaning that, well, you know, they got to replace Cade. You know what I mean? All right, that'll do it for us today. Thank you for watching and or listening. We'll be back with the Northwestern preview on Friday with Jake Butt. So stay tuned to that. Thank you again. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.